And so I'm going to invite you to pull out your Bible as we get into our message today. I have about 20 minutes, so we're going to get right into this message, a beautiful message from the story and the life of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the one we've been singing about and singing for today. And so when you're there, when you have your Bible, let me know by saying amen. 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 So today we are talking about Zechariah's song, but I could have named this message something else. I could have named it, listen, how to deal with disappointment, with the disappointment of delayed prayer. How to deal with the disappointment of delayed prayer. Have you ever had to deal with delays before in your life? Have you ever felt like you have been forgotten by someone in life? Before I became a pastor, I worked as a nurse. And I remember one day a terrible experience that I had and other nurses had working at the urgent care of a clinic. When people come to the urgent care, it's because they want care. They want care urgently. And they come to the front and they check in, they put their name, and it comes by first come, first serve, or by the level of severity. And so they had put their name there, and they were on the list, but somehow they got off the list. And we started seeing patient after patient after patient after patient, and this person was sitting there waiting to be seen. And finally, it came to lunchtime, and the doctor, the physician, went to lunch, and we were about to go to lunch, but you know, we always look in the waiting room right before we go to lunch, and we look into the waiting room, and there is this one man sitting there with his head down, looking around frantically, because he doesn't see anyone anymore. And we go up to him, and we say, "Sir, can we help you?" "Yes, you could help me. I've been waiting for 4 hours. 4 hours. We looked at his name, and there for sure, it was behind a pile of papers, his documents. He had been forgotten. He had been forgotten, and he had not received the care that he received. Have you felt forgotten before? Have you felt as maybe God has forgotten you? Have you felt that maybe you've been praying to him about a certain something, but the answer never comes? And maybe you think, my prayers have been forgotten somewhere up there. Maybe they're under the pile of that person's prayer because they're a better person, a better Christian than me. Or maybe I'm just not important to God. Maybe he has forgotten my prayers. Today we are going to be talking about the life of a man named Zechariah, whose prayer request seems to have been forgotten by God. So turn with me to our opening text, Luke, the beautiful, beautiful book of Luke. Luke, straight to the point, Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. And we begin with the story of Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. We're there, say amen. Okay, most of us are there. Thank you so much. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 7 in the book of Luke says, "There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was" what? Elizabeth. Do we have any Elizabeths today in the audience? Yes, we do. One played a beautiful violin this morning. They were both what? They were both righteous. Are you in the same Bible that I am? They were both righteous before God. They were good people. And it says that walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. The story is going so good so far, right? But then it ends with this sentence. But, or yet, they had no what? They had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. In that time, being childless in Israel was a terrible thing. It was seen as a curse of God. In fact, if you go to the book of Leviticus, there's certain sexual immoral sins that God specifically punished by keeping women childless. And not only was it seen as a judgment of God, but you would in no way be able to be that blessed woman who would bring in the Messiah. And so I imagine Zacharias and Elizabeth, when they first tried to have a child, the first year, the second year, the third year, they started to get down on their knees and say, "Lord, please don't keep me barren. Don't keep me barren. Bless my womb. Give me a child." And the prayers ascended and ascended and ascended to the Lord. But the Bible tells us that she was unable to have a child for two reasons. Number one, she was barren. But number two, she was advanced in age. I don't like to say old. That doesn't sound nice. She advanced. Like those of you here in the audience, you're not old. You have advanced beyond us. Okay, advanced in age. But these two things didn't come simultaneously, did they? Because she wasn't always advanced in age. There was a point when she was just barren. And can you imagine that she was barren? And as the years went by, and she was getting close to the age of not being able to have children no matter what, the prayers must have gotten more fervent. The prayers must have gotten more intense. Maybe they called their church and said, "Let's start a prayer chain." Maybe they called their priest and said, "Hey, can you really lift up this prayer? I've been writing down my prayer requests every Sabbath and turning it in. What's going on?" Because I'm getting to that old age. And now I'm not only barren, but I'm beyond the age of having a child. And it so happened as the years passed by and nothing happened, that they must have stopped asking for prayer requests. They must have stopped asking the pastor or the priest to pray for them. They realized, "I'm beyond the age of having children." And they said, maybe in their minds, "God has forgotten this prayer request." And so they stopped praying for a child after a certain age. They were resigned to their unanswered prayer. Have you ever stopped praying for a request? Have you stopped praying because time has passed by and it seems that the answer to that prayer can no longer be answered? You were praying for that job, but someone else got the job. You were praying that that person would change, but it's been 25 years of marriage and they haven't changed. You've been praying for those health problems, but the doctor's telling you there's nothing they could do, and decades have passed by. Have you stopped praying? Have you stopped praying like Zacharias and Elizabeth? Friends, today I want to tell you something important. I want to tell you that prayers are never forgotten by God. Amen. Someone said amen. These are the believers over here. I'm not sure what these are. I said that the prayer is never forgotten by God. And God's delay never destroys his purposes. He has a purpose for you. Don't get discouraged by the delays. In fact, we have this beautiful verse that I pulled in the paraphrased Living Bible. I don't recommend you use this for deep Bible study, but I like the way it's worded here. It says in the words of the prophets, But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be what? Patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Not a single day. But friends, we hate to wait, don't we? We hate to wait. We hate to wait at the doctor's office. We hate to wait in traffic jams. And that's that you're from Michigan, not California, like me. And there's not really that bad traffic jams. You hate waiting at restaurants. You hate waiting for Christmas presents. You hate waiting for pizza delivery. In fact, you hate it so much that they had to come up with this promotion of, if the pizza delivery man is 30 minutes late, then you get a free pizza. You know why they came up with that? Because people couldn't even wait half an hour. And so they said, what, if we give him the free pizza, at least he'll give us the grace of 30 minutes not to be calling us and bothering us, where is my pizza? But most of all, we hate waiting on God. Friends, we all have to go through these waiting periods. But the good news is that God never asks us to wait without him. I said the good news is that God never asks us to wait without him. Amen. So why do we wait? Well, it teaches us to trust God. It teaches us to trust God and that his time is perfect. I didn't say your time, not your time. I said his time is perfect. Because the truth is that prayer is not a tool we use to convince God to do what we want. It is not. God knows what we need before we ask it. And if someone wants to do good for you, it is God beyond anybody else who wants to do good for you. He wants you to have a good job. He wants you to have good health. He wants your son and daughter to enter that university. God wants the best of the best for you. And if he has not given it to you, it's because it's not the best of the best for you. Did you get that? He, above everyone else, wants the best of the best for you. And if he's not answering your prayer request right now when you want it, it's because it's not the best of the best time for you. So keep calm. Have you seen those shirts? Have you seen those things on the internet? Keep calm and wait for it. Keep calm and wait for it. So what happened to Zechariah? Luke chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And we follow with the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who could not have a child. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 8 and 10 tells us these things. Zechariah chapter 1, Luke, am I saying Zechariah? Sorry. It is about Zechariah. And we're on page 1177 in your pew Bible. It says, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. I want to give you a little background here. You see, the Levites had different orders. And different orders were asked at different times to come serve into the temple. Now, there wasn't like 100 or 200 priests. In some orders, there was 20,000 people. So if you got called to serve in the temple, it was a great honor to do that. Now, when they got there, there's different kind of jobs. You know, some people had to carry the wood. Some people did the burnt offering. Some people cleaned over here and different things. But one of the highest honor, if not the highest honor, was to go into the holy place and burn incense, which represents the prayers. So you were asked to go pray. And so when it came to the job responsibilities, they cast lots so people wouldn't think that others were being favored above them. And so the Bible tells us here that Zechariah was the one who the lot fell for him to burn incense. Now, when you burn incense, you had one responsibility. Your responsibility was to pray. It was to pray. And the Desire of Ages tells us what was the responsibility of the priest who went in there to burn incense to pray about. It tells us in page 99. It was the duty of the priest in this service to pray for two things. Number one, the pardon of public and national sins. But number two, and this is important to remember today, to pray for the coming of the Messiah. To pray for the coming of the Messiah. Now, this was such a privilege to burn incense and pray for these things that if a priest was chosen to burn incense, the rule was that he could never burn incense again in his life. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This was the pinnacle of the priest's daily or weekly or monthly or yearly duties at the temple. And in this time, Zechariah was the one who went inside to do the awesome privilege of praying for his nation and praying for the coming of the Messiah. Zechariah must have seen that lot fall on him, and they all looked at him and they said, Zechariah, go pray for us. Zechariah, go pray with faith. Go, Zechariah, pray with belief. And maybe Zechariah went in there thinking, I'm about to pray for everybody. I'm about to pray before the most holy place in the holy place. I'm going to pray before the presence of the God. But what about my prayer request? I'm about to ask for everybody else's prayers to be answered. I'm about to pray for the Messiah to come. But what about my prayer request? Have you ever been asked to pray for others when your prayer requests have not been answered? Have you ever prayed for someone and miraculously or obviously their prayers have been answered and you rejoice with them, but then your prayers still remain unanswered? Zechariah must have felt the same way as the lot fell upon him. And as he entered the temple, he must have entered with some apprehension. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 11 through 14, what happened in that temple. It tells us in verse 11 that as he entered the temple, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and what fell upon him? Fear fell upon him. Now, I don't know if this is because this was the only time he had ever done it, and he was probably thinking, I messed up. The angel's coming to strike me down. I did something wrong. But for whatever reason, he was afraid. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Friends, prayers of faith are filed in heaven. God does not forget. They're not forgotten. Though the thing prayed for is not presently given, prayers made when we were young and coming into the world may be answered when we are old and going out of the world. Your mother might have prayed for you when you were born, Lord, save this child. And though you have gone away from the Lord, whether you have lived a life apart from him, whether you have rejected him, maybe on your dying bed, your mother's prayers will be answered. Do you have a child you're still praying for that's not here this morning? Do you have a son or a daughter who is struggling spiritually? That prayer can still be answered. The prayer of Zechariah was remembered. It was time for Zechariah's prayer to be answered because God's timing was perfect. Now, in order to really understand what the angel was telling him, we have to understand the meaning of the name of Zechariah. Can you imagine what his name meant? Zechariah meant Jehovah remembers. So every time he was called, hey, Zechariah, he was called Jehovah remembers. How are you doing? Jehovah remembers. I heard you're going to the temple. Jehovah remembers. How's your wife Elizabeth doing? And he must have thought, does God remember? Or has God forgotten? So when the angel came to him, we could read it a little bit differently in Luke chapter 1, verse 13. It says, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. Or we could read it, do not be afraid, Jehovah remembers, for your prayer is heard. It reminds me of Abraham. Doesn't it remind you a little bit about Abraham? You see, Abraham receive the promise of a son. But he had to wait 25 years for that answer to that promise. Have you had a prayer request that is answered 25 years after you start praying for it? Some of us forget after a 3 months or 2 months of praying for something. If it's not answered, we give up and we forget about it. For 25 years, he waited. And when he was 99 years old, God changed his name. God changed his name when he was 99 years of age from Abram to
Abraham.
And what does Abraham mean? Father of a multitude. He had not given him a child yet, but he changed his name. And so just like I heard a sermon this week, Abraham must have gone around all of Canaan, meeting people. How are you doing? What's your name? My name is Abraham, father of a multitude. And this is my wife, Elizabeth. Nice to meet you, father of a multitude. Nice to meet you, Elizabeth. Where are your children? You must have a lot. Actually, we don't have any. But I have a promise. I have a promise. And we've been praying about it. But aren't you 99? And your wife is catching up to you soon? But the Bible tells us that even though he was 99 years of age, Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 to 6 tells us, then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, God said to them, so shall your descendants be. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed, and he received the promise. So here's the lesson we get from this. The lesson we get, listen carefully. Many eminent persons were born of mothers that had been long childless, as Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Samson, Samuel, and so here John the Baptist, to make their birth the more remarkable and the blessing of it more valuable to their parents, and to show that when God keeps his people long waiting for mercy, he sometimes is pleased to recompense them for their patience by doubling the worth of it when it comes. Let me translate that in my own paraphrase. Sometimes delayed answers are better than immediate ones. Sometimes delayed answers are better than immediate ones. Do you believe that? Yeah. If it's on God's time. Do you remember Mary and Martha when they went to call for Jesus to come do what for their brother? Heal him. Heal him. And Jesus didn't come. He came a couple of days later. And Mary and Martha pretty much said, why are you here now? It's too late. You must have forgotten us. It's too late to answer our requests. Just like we say, it's too late to answer our prayers. But Mary and Martha were expecting healing. God delayed because he wanted to do more than heal. And so instead of healing their brother, he resurrected their brother. Because delayed answers sometimes are better than immediate answers. But we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. But we have to remember that God's time is the best time. So what happened to Zacharias? Luke chapter 1, verse 18 and 20. My wife is going to kill me when I get home. Luke chapter 1, verse 18 and 20 continues the story of Zacharias. And Zacharias said to the angel, praise God, you've remembered my prayer. I've always believed. I've been trying to tell my wife to get ready to go by the crib. No. He says, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel, man. I stand before the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Zechariah didn't have the faith of Abraham, did he? Even though he had the experience of Abraham to look back upon. Why? Because he doubted. He doubted because he felt that the time for his answered prayer had passed. And so, he was not ready to receive God's blessing today just because he was expecting them yesterday. Maybe you should write that down. That's for you. Sometimes we're not ready to receive today's blessings and answered prayers because we're expecting them yesterday. And because we did not receive them yesterday, we turn our back upon God because we believe ourselves forgotten and abandoned. But he's telling us, wait, I have something better for you. I want the best for you. And yesterday was not the best of the best. Today is. I'm giving it to you today. But Zechariah was not ready to receive it. He was waiting for it yesterday. So for 10 months, Zechariah could not speak. And some believe that he could not hear because when they asked him what they should name his son, the Bible tells us that they had to make hand motions. So maybe he couldn't speak and maybe he couldn't hear for 10 months. Can you imagine that? And he must have sat in a room and really thought about what happened. And I think, based on what we're about to read, that Zechariah came to the conclusions that God never forgets because he hasn't forgotten my prayer and Elizabeth's prayer. He must have thought God's time is the best time. He must have thought, I must be ready to receive God's blessings today, not be disappointed about the yesterdays. Zechariah learned a lot during those 10 months. Because as soon as his son was born and his lips were opened, he expressed what he had been thinking about for those last 10 months. And let me break it down what he was thinking about. You know what helps you have faith in answered prayer? Answered prayer. You want to believe that God answers prayer? You know what helps me? When I see answered prayer. That's why I love testimonies. That's why I love when people share answered prayers. And that's what we're going to end our year with. Our New Year's Sabbath celebration is going to be a testimony Sabbath. But especially when God remembers my prayers and he answers prayers, then I think if he answered this prayer, then he's going to answer that prayer. God answered his prayer for a son. And I think Zechariah was there sitting in his home for 10 months thinking, if he answered this prayer, then he's going to answer this prayer. Well, what this prayer are you talking about, Pastor? Remember, there was only one time out of the whole life that a priest would go into the temple and pray? And what was the one thing they would pray for? The forgiveness of sin and for the coming of the Messiah. And all the nation of Israel had been praying for years, for centuries, for the coming of the Messiah. But it seems that God had forgotten because the Messiah had not come. But now Zechariah has hope. And as God looses his tongue, the Bible tells us in the lyrics of Christmas, the lyrics of Zechariah, what he says. So go to Luke chapter 1, verse 68 to 69. And we're going to read this verses together because it's like a song. It's the lyrics of Christmas. We're going to be reading from the New King James Version from your pew Bible. So get ready. If you didn't sing, if you didn't participate in the service, this is your chance to do it here this morning. Luke chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 68 to 69. And I'm going to do like Sitara does, okay? All right, so it's up and then that's how we do it, okay? Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Pause. There's something wrong about this. There's something strange. Blessed, he has visited, redeemed, raised up. That's all past tense, right? Am I wrong? Am I wrong or am I right? English was my second language at one point. It's past tense. He's thanking God for what has already happened. He's speaking of Christ's advent as if it's accomplished already. But friends, Luke chapter 2 is when Jesus is born. We're still in Luke chapter 1. Jesus is not even born yet, and Zechariah is thanking God for the Messiah. So what we learn here is that he went from being disappointed by prayers not answered when he wanted to believing that God had answered his prayer before he actually did answer it. Do you see that transformation? He went from doubting because of delays, and now he went to excited about future expectations. How I wish that we could have that same transformation. How I wish that we also can rejoice and thank God after we ask for something, believing that he has already answered it in his time and in his way. And so, God never forgets us. The Bible is clear about that. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not," what? "Forget you." Do you believe that when you pray? God has not forgotten. Because sometimes delayed answers are better than immediate ones. Because God's timing is perfect. Because answered prayer increases assurance of answers to other prayers. God never forgets. Let's end this song today with the next verses, verses 72 and 75 of Luke chapter 1. Are you ready to sing? Are you ready to speak? Are you ready to pronounce? Luke chapter 1, verse 72 to 75. Are you ready? "To perform the mercies promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." Amen. You guys sound beautiful. Now, God is just playing with us now. He's just playing with us. Look at this verse here. "To perform the," what's that word? "Mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which we swore to our father Abraham." Let's look at the names of John, Zechariah, and Elizabeth, won't we? Remember, mercy, remember, and oath. What are the names? What do they mean, their names? John means God is gracious or merciful. Zechariah means God remembers. And Elizabeth means my God is an oath. He already knew their story before they were born and before they were even named. God knew that he would answer their prayers in his time, in his ways, the best way for them. So don't let delays and apparent unanswered prayers overthrow your Christian experience, friends. Stay in church. Stay serving. Stay believing in his promises. And be ready to receive his answers and blessings in his time, not your time. For those this morning who have been distressed because they feel that God has forgotten them, forgotten their prayers, forgotten their job situation, forgotten their lack of job, forgotten their child's need in school, forgotten that they need to get citizenship, forgotten that they need to graduate, forgotten that they need a husband and wife, or forgotten the prayers for their sons, daughters, husbands, and wives. I have something to share with you this morning, something important to share. If you have felt forgotten this morning, And it's found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. God wants you to know, if you felt forgotten, what kind of God he is. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31 says this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who? I said, those who? Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Friends, this morning there's someone who might have drifted into despair or disappointment because of supposed delays in answers to your life. But today, through this message, you want to confess to God. That you want to leave that spirit behind and you want to trust him again. Trust him with your yesterdays. Trust him with your todays. And trust him with your tomorrows. Trust him at the resurrection. Trust him for eternity. Friends, let us bow our heads and close our eyes. Because I feel that today there might be someone here this morning who this message has spoken to directly, because your prayers and their lack of answer has been affecting your spiritual life, has maybe caused you to doubt the goodness and graciousness of our God. But God has not forgotten you. God loves you abundantly, and he wants you to know, wait, and I will provide. And today you want to believe that. You want to cast doubt aside, and you want to trust him like Zechariah. Friend, if that's you this morning, and you want to start praying again and believing again and trusting that he will answer, would you raise your hand in the silence of our moment and say, Jesus, it's me. It's me. It's my prayer. I was Zechariah. It was me. Would you raise your hand to Jesus and say, Jesus, look at me. Change me. Back into a praying, believing, trusting, and help me to wait. It's difficult, Lord, but help me to wait that you will answer in your perfect time and for the best of the best for me. Dear Heavenly Father, look at these hands. These are your precious children, and even hands who may not have been raised, but their hearts have been raised to you. Father, we're thankful that you have not forgotten us and you send your son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. But you've also brought in grace and mercy for so many other things through him. And we trust that you will answer them for us in this life or in the life to come. We thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.